I believe that success is an inner concept. Inner concept. It is something that is part of your own inner development. When you have it inside of you, and you cultivate that, and that's what I want to try to help parents to do with their children. When you carry that around inside of you, you bring it to every single thing that you do in life. Everything that you do. You bring it to your children. You don't get it from raising them the right way. You don't get it by closing the deal. You bring it to every aspect of the deal. You don't get it by focusing on your commission and how much am I going to get and if I divide this and if I do that and always being concerned with your own quotas. You get it by forgetting about your quotas and focusing on your customers. You forget about you and all the things that you're going to get out of what you're doing in life as a happy, contented, fully functioning, no limit human being. You simply go out and advance confidently in the direction of your own dreams and endeavor to live your own kind of life the way you choose, making every day a miracle, and success will chase after you and arrive in your life in amounts greater than you ever anticipated in any present moment of your life. There's an old parable, and the old parable goes like this. There's an old cat, and there's a little kitten out in the alley. And a little kitten is chasing its tail. You ever see a little kitten do that? They chase, and chase, and chase, and chase, and chase. And the old cat comes up to and stops them and says, "What the hell are you doing?" He said, "Well, I've been to cat philosophy school. I've been studying cat philosophy. And I've discovered that there are two things in the world that are important for a cat. One is that happiness is the most important thing for a cat. And two, that happiness is located in your tail." So what I figured out is that if I chase it and chase it and I finally get a hold of it and get it in my mouth, and I will have a lock on eternal happiness. And the old cat said, "You know, I haven't had the opportunities to go to cat philosophy school like you. I've kind of wandered around the alleys all my life." He said, "You know, it's really amazing. I've learned the same things you have. I've learned that the most important thing for a cat is happiness, and indeed, that it is located in my tail." He said, "The only difference between you and I," he said, "I've discovered is that if you go about your business and do the things that are important to you, it'll follow after you wherever you go." Isn't that a nice parable? It's an interesting notion. I use the analogy of the bag boys. There are one baggers and two baggers in the world. The one bagger is the bag boy in the store who, when he's bagging your groceries, he's sort of tired and he's sort of got a real bad attitude about what he's doing and he's only getting a few dollars an hour and he picks up a loaf of bread and puts it at the bottom and put a few tomatoes down there to keep it nice so that the bread and tomatoes mix nice when the can of grapefruit juice goes on top of it or whatever. And he doesn't give a damn. And he's slow. And his attitude is that there's no one cashier in the world that I cannot make stop and help me bag an order, even if they've only got one item. All right? That's his philosophy. And he kind of goes and does that. Now, you look at that and you say, well, maybe it's just because he's bagging groceries. That's what it is. But it's not. You see, because right in the same store, there's somebody else making the same money, who's got the same benefits, who is like a double bagger. And his philosophy is, there's no two cashiers in the world that I cannot keep up with. They'll never have to touch a bag. And then there are a few that are triple baggers. I used to be a triple bagger. I worked for Kroger's through my master's, bagging groceries. That's what I got through it and paid for it. I used to make a contest and see if I could get three cashiers and bag for all three of them and say something pleasant to them and have fun. And the hour would go by like that, and the people would always want to come to my lines, and there was that kind of a fun thing. I looked forward to doing it. Now, the one-baggers, 5 years later, they get passed over for a job promotion for manager of a store, if they're still there. And they go home and they tell their wife that that shouldn't have happened. They passed me over. They're prejudiced. They don't like me because I'm too tall, or I'm too short, or I'm the wrong color, or I'm the wrong size, or I'm a female, or I'm a male, or whatever it is. They've got their reasons, you see. And they go through their whole lives being single baggers, even up into their retirement year, they're still making excuses and finding fault and blaming the rest of the world for what is. And the double bagger owns a chain of Kroger stores. There's an old saying in management, and this is something for you to really remember. Don't send your ducks to Eagle School, okay? Now think about that. We got a lot of ducks in the world, and there's just very few eagles. And trying to get a duck to become an eagle is one of the toughest jobs you'll run into in life. There's ducks everywhere. And there are very, very few eagles who are willing to soar. See, ducks sort of think in duck-like ways. And when you try to train them to be an eagle, they just don't seem to get the message. They have this impossibility kind of thinking. They have this notion that we've always done things this way, that this is the book, this is the way we do it. Just flying over here yesterday from Miami, I noticed that on the flight there was a flight attendant, and the drinks, they were like 18 rows behind. They served the meal, and then way, way, way up at the front was this cart, and you knew the way they were going that the cart wasn't going to get to the meals until the meal was done. And I like to have something to drink while I'm eating, as most people do. And I just said to my daughter sitting next to me, and why do they only take one order at a time? I mean, why, when the six people sitting across, it was a 727, three, and the girl would say, what would you like? And she would then take that, and then she would take the ice, and she would put it in there, and then she would pour it, and then she would hand it to her. Then she'd say to the next person in the middle, what would you like? And she would do that for six people. Now, I mean, an eagle would just say, all right, what do you six people want? Wouldn't you? But the book isn't that way. For some reason, the book isn't done that way. I mean, an eagle would have been right with the food trays all the time. The ducks just, if you get there, you get there. I mean, if it happens, it happens. If you get something to drink an hour after the flight is over and you're getting your bag, oh, by the way, here's your juice that you wanted. And you see, when you talk to those people, when you talk to ducks, you get duck quack, quack, quack talk a lot. I mean, at a bank not too long ago, I was talking to a teller, and the teller was on hold. She had somebody on just the sort of like terminal hold. I mean, she'd been there for a long time on this hold, you know. And I was the next person in line, and I just simply said to her, could you just make this deposit? I just want to deposit this check, and I want to get out of here. Sir, I can only do one thing at a time. I go, whack, 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 whack. Quack, quack, quack. I said, only one? I could do 10 things at a time. If you want to be an eagle, you got to be looking for the mice down here. You got to be looking out for telephone poles. You got to be thinking about your little eaglets. I mean, you got a million things you got to do at once. I mean, who among you can only do one thing at a time? No parent out there can ever do only one thing at a time. You'd never get anything done, ever, in your life. The little ones, you have to learn how to read a book and watch them swimming and still be able to make your dinner that night. I mean, you just learn how to do that when you're effective. Or you just sit around and say, I can only do one thing at a time. And there's this one thing at a time mentality. There's this duck-like mentality that you run into all the time. And see, I was used to it because even in the orphanage, I mean, our whole room was just one great big duck pond, all right? It was. I mean, the teacher would get up and say to all the other kids, this is the worst class I've ever had in my life. I just can't stand it. And four or five of those kids would walk out of there feeling guilty, you know. And I'd say to them, this is the worst class you ever had. Her life must be great. We're so easy, you know. Why are you falling into this guilt pattern? Why are you letting this teacher? And they, sure enough, they'd just go home and they'd feel bad and manipulated with that kind of stuff. Well, I was running into this kind of mentality everywhere. Last Friday, I spoke up in Orlando, and they put me in this beautiful Marriott hotel at the airport there. It's a wonderful hotel. And they put me on the ninth floor. It's called the concierge level, you know. They have a concierge. And this concierge sort of takes care of you. They give you little appetizers, and they give you a little juice, and a little bar there, and they charge you $100 more a night, all right? But they hire people to be these concierges. Now, it's not a great job, but it's not a bad job. So the first night that I was there, they had appetizers, and I went out, and appetizers went from 7 to 9. hot appetizers. Well, I didn't finish running until about 10 after 9. I went in, I said, boy, I'd like to take some appetizers back. And the guy said, no problem, I'll get you some. He said, they close at 9, but I know a guy downstairs in the kitchen, and I'll go down and I'll bring some up, and would you like a beer? I said, yeah, a cold beer would really be great. And he said, they've got some real nice little chocolate-like things for dessert, little eclairs, and would you like a coffee? I said, that'd be great. This guy had no idea who I was or anything like that. And he went out of his way after the time, and all right, that was terrific. All right. The next morning, they have a continental breakfast on the same floor. And so you're supposed to be through with breakfast by 9:30. So I went out there about 9:45 or whatever it was. And I said, I know that you're closed. There was somebody else there. There was a duck there, okay? And they replaced the eagle with the duck. And the duck said, wah, wah, wah. Sir, continental breakfast closes at 9:30. It's 10:15. I'm sorry. I said, I know that. I understand. But I said, I just like some orange juice. I'm really thirsty. I've just finished running. I've got to give a talk this afternoon. And she said, sir, 9:30. It says it very clearly. I'm the guy paying $125 a night for the concierge, and she's dismissing me. You see the difference? The difference is like, it's an attitude. It's what one person believes. Now, I can assure you, if you follow through on these two concierges, that you're going to see that eagle soaring all through his life. And this other person is going to go from that job to probably one a little more demeaning and a little more demeaning, and is always going to be wondering why. And if you're looking for people, if you're ever in employment and looking for ways of recruiting people and so on, I'd say great employees are found. They're not trained. They're found. You go out there and you find those people who have that attitude, and then you can help them to do anything and to be anything when they've got that inner attitude. Not too long ago, I was at the airport in O'Hare. I've got to tell you this story. It was at Delta Airlines. They're usually a terrific airline. They practice teaching people attitudes more than anything. And I was going to get on a flight in the afternoon to fly down to Fort Lauderdale. They canceled my flight. Now, I said to the fellow, well, that's okay, because I know you have a flight 45 minutes from now, and it goes to West Palm Beach. And that's only 20 miles away, they had 90 empty seats on it. I said, you can just put me on that flight, and I'll fly down. And he looked in the computer, he said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. I said, why not? He said, because the computer says that those are two separate cities. Miami and Fort Lauderdale are considered the same city, but Fort Lauderdale and West Palm are considered different cities. And he said it would be just the same as if you asked if you could go to San Francisco. I mean, it's just a different city as far as the computer's concerned. We can't do that. I'm sorry. You'll have to take a flight 4 hours from now, and we've got you covered, and you'll be on that flight. I said, you mean you canceled the flight? And you won't let me get on a flight that's 20 miles from the airport that I went on to because the computer says it's a separate city? He said, that's right, I'm sorry, there's just nothing else I can do. Now, you've heard this. You all hear this. I said, as I usually do, I'd like to just talk to somebody else. Anybody else. He said, I'm sorry, sir. He said, whoever I bring out, if you want to see a supervisor, he's so used to this, a supervisor, you know, that if I bring out a supervisor, they're just going to tell you the same thing. And he went behind the doors. I said, wait, don't go behind those doors. You know the doors they go behind? You know what's back of the doors? Duck pond. There's a duck pond back there. There is. He was going to bring out another duck. I said, don't go upstairs. Just go up some stairs. Any stairs, and see if you can find an eagle. He said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, anybody you bring out, I don't care who it is, bring out somebody who doesn't already believe it can't be done. That's the only kind of person I want. I don't want a guarantee or anything like that. I don't want that. I just want to talk to a human being who doesn't believe it can't be done. And they did. They sent me out an eagle, and I got the flight that I wanted, and everything worked out just the way it was supposed to work out. You must understand that the world is full of those kind of single baggers. And you have to really watch out that you don't become one yourself. Now, I want to tell you, success, again, is an inner process. When you have it inside of you, you're not looking for it. And consequently, you bring success to everything that you do. I've never believed that people who work real hard and do all the right things make a lot of money and then become successful. I think it's the other way around. I think successful people make a lot of money at whatever they do.
and make a lot of friends and all of that, because the successful person is someone who has it within them, and they bring it too, all these different things. And so they're never looking for it, and they're not surprised at how well they do at virtually everything. When I go down to my mailbox, and there's not a check in the mail from someplace for me, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that something didn't come into me that day. Whereas I used to be surprised when every once in a while a check would come into my life. And I never care whether checks come into my life. It just doesn't make any difference. I don't focus on money and trying to get it. I focus more on what I'm doing and what I believe in and my mission, and I live that, and all the other stuff gets taken care of. It all just gets taken care of. And it's all so perfect if we only stop to realize that it is.